KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, we have partly cloudy skies, 43 degrees. We look for a chance of isolated showers this afternoon. Otherwise, partly cloudy to cloudy and windy, a high of 55. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. A reminder today, the Democrat presidential hopeful Senator Kirsten Gillibrand from New York will be at the Atlantic campus of Iowa Western Community College this afternoon. The doors will open just after 4 o'clock with Senator Gillibrand delivering remarks and conversing with caucusgoers from about 4:20 until 5:20 p.m. Prior to that event, she'll tour Iowa Western Community College. Conversations with Kirsten will focus on the topics of education and national public service. Senator Gillibrand is a junior senator from New York. She was born and raised in upstate New York, where she, her husband, and their two sons still reside. Prior to being elected to the U.S. Senate, she served as a law clerk and a lawyer in the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development during the Clinton administration. Gillibrand was elected to the House of Representatives in 2006 and was appointed to the U.S. Senate in 2009, where she has won re-election twice. And the Iowa Department of Natural Resources next month will release 14 trumpeter swans at three locations in southwest Iowa as part of the effort to create a self-sustaining population of swans south of Interstate 80. All of the releases will occur rain or shine. Six swans will be released on the north side of Lake Icaria at the east boat ramp on May the 9th at 9:30 a.m. in partnership with the Adams County Conservation Board. Two swans will be released at Viking Lake near the restaurant and beach area on May 9th at 1 p.m. Six swans will be released at Lake Anita on May 10th at 1:30 p.m. in partnership with the Cass County Conservation Boards. The releases are part of the Iowa DNR statewide effort to restore trumpeter swans to Iowa that began in 1993. Trumpeter swans were once common in the state but were gone by the late 1880s. By the early 1930s, only 69 trumpeter swans remained in the lower 48 states. It takes 6 years on average before trumpeter swans successfully nest. Last year, Iowa was home to 54 pairs of nesting trumpeter swans. However, only two of those nesting pairs were south of I-80. Dave Hoffman, wildlife research technician with the Iowa DNR, said the goal is to raise that number to 8, which would likely create a self-sustaining population. As the largest North American waterfowl, these all-white birds can weigh up to 32 pounds and have an 8-foot wingspan. The trumpeter swans being released are young and flightless and will imprint on the area where they learn to fly, returning each year as open water is available. They were donated to the project from zoos in Cleveland, Kansas City, Green Bay, Wisconsin, Oklahoma City, Bronx, Anchorage, Alaska, and Maryland. Each event includes a swan and wetland presentation and the opportunity to touch and view the swans up close and a photo opportunity for the kids. The staff from the Kansas City Zoo will be on hand offering educational activities, and filmmaker Steve Harriman will be at these releases collecting footage for an upcoming documentary, The Return of the Trumpeter Swans, in partnership with the Trumpeter Swan Society. The Harlan Police Department this week issued a report on recent arrests and incidents. Authorities say 18-year-old Preston Max Russell of Kirkman was arrested Sunday following a noise complaint. Russell was transported to the Shelby County Jail and charged with possession of a controlled substance and minor in possession of alcohol. 18-year-old Kyle David Confier of Harlan was also cited for minor in possession of alcohol. Last Saturday, 21-year-old Morgan Earl Cox of Harlan was arrested following a call for service. Cox was transported to the Shelby County Jail where he was charged with possession of a controlled substance and possession of drug paraphernalia. On April the 8th, 29-year-old Brett Frederick Moore of Harlan was arrested on a Shelby County warrant and brought to the Shelby County Jail. On April 7th, 24-year-old Khadijah Meeks of Harlan was arrested following a call for service. Meeks was transported to the Shelby County Jail where she was charged with public intox and interference with official acts. And back on April the 5th, 23-year-old Emily Amelia Watts of Harlan was cited following a traffic stop. She was cited for driving while suspended and failure to provide proof of insurance. And 28-year-old Timothy McFarland of Harlan was cited for possession of drug paraphernalia and failure to obey a stop sign following a traffic stop. The Pottawatomie County Sheriff's Office said yesterday that a woman from Council Bluffs was transported Tuesday from a jail in Nebraska to the Pott County Jail. 36-year-old Mindy Michelle Watts was wanted on a Pott County felony warrant for theft in the fifth degree. 35-year-old Kara Nicole Matt turned herself into the Pott County Sheriff's Office Tuesday morning. She was wanted on a warrant for violation of probation. And J. Douglas Johns turned himself into the Sheriff's Office Tuesday afternoon. Johns was wanted on a warrant for theft in the first degree. Tuesday afternoon, 44-year-old Patrick Leroy Reynolds of Omaha was transported from a jail in Nebraska to the Pott County Jail. Reynolds had been wanted on Pott County warrants for committing a specified unlawful act and ongoing activity, along with theft in the first degree. His bond was set at $35,000. Governor Kim Reynolds this week announced that received word that two counties affected by recent severe weather and flooding along the Missouri River have been added to the presidential disaster declaration that was granted back on March 23rd. Residents in Pottawatomie and Shelby counties are now eligible to apply for the Federal Individual Assistance Program, which provides aid up to eligible homeowners, renters, and businesses. The Federal Individual Assistance Program can provide homeowners, renters, and businesses with grants and low-interest loans to help pay for temporary housing, home repairs, and other disaster-related expenses that are not covered by insurance or other aid programs. Individuals and business owners who sustain losses in the designated area can begin applying for federal individual assistance by registering online at www.disasterassistance.gov or by calling 800-621-3362. The toll-free telephone number will operate from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. local time 7 days a week until further notice. Residents of Pottawatomie and Shelby counties who have already registered for the Federal Individual Assistance Program should reapply, as the IAP is now active and will accept their registration for the FEMA Iowa program. The Iowa Individual Assistance Grant Program is no longer available to residents in Pottawatomie and Shelby counties following their addition to the Presidential Disaster Declaration. And again, citizens in those counties should now apply for the Federal Individual Assistance Program. The Disaster Case Management Program is still available to impacted residents of Pottawatomie and Shelby counties through the Local Community Action Association at www.iowacommunityaction.org. An arsenal of new technology is being put to the test fighting floods this year as rivers inundate towns and farm fields across the central U.S. Drones, supercomputers, and sonar that scans deep underwater are helping to maintain flood control projects and predicting just where the rivers will roar out of their banks. U.S. scientists said in their spring weather outlook that 13 million people are at risk of major inundation from flooding, with another 41 million people at risk from moderate flooding. Forecasters with NOAA, the National Oceanic and Atmospheric Administration, are now able to monitor a vastly larger part of the nation's river system with a new computer model. The emergency officials can also simulate various scenarios predicting what could happen if flooding washes away a levee or crashes through a dam. A Northwest Iowa man from Lorenz is jailed for allegedly threatening people with a gun at a Storm Lake Walmart store on Wednesday. Joel Herman reports from Storm Lake.
Police allege 21-year-old Christian Eberle pointed a handgun with a green laser attached to two different people as they were leaving the store multiple times following a verbal altercation inside. He then left in a car. That car was located in Albert City, and police seized a handgun along with 80 rounds of ammo from the vehicle. Eberle was charged with 4 counts of assault while displaying a dangerous weapon and 1 count of carrying weapons, all aggravated misdemeanors. Police allege the initial argument was connected to illegal drugs.
And a longtime person of interest in the Jody Huizentrout case has made his first statement to the media in 24 years, saying that he's been diagnosed with Alzheimer's disease. Bob Fisher reports from Mason City.
John Van Sice and his wife Jane released their statement on Wednesday through Steve Ridge, who is the chief operating officer of the Magid Media Consulting Group based in Cedar Rapids. Ridge says they asked him to disclose that Van Sice has recently been diagnosed with moderate and advancing Alzheimer's disease. Van Sice says the diagnosis weighed heavily in his decision to issue a definitive statement regarding the disappearance of Huizentrout, who vanished in June 1995, failing to show up for a morning program at KIMT television. Ridge says Van Sice told him that despite the very private nature of this personal information, his desire to help find the person or persons responsible for Huizentrout's abduction outweigh personal considerations for privacy. Ridge says he reviewed an 11-page confidential medical evaluation and can attest to the formal diagnosis of progressive Alzheimer's disease.
A search warrant was executed against Van Sice more than 2 years ago, but the contents of that search warrant have remained sealed. Van Sice numerous times has denied any involvement with Huizentrout's disappearance. And authorities say a man who was stabbed during a fight has died at a Des Moines hospital. Officers sent Monday night to check on a report of fighting found the wounded man. Police say he was taken by helicopter to Des Moines Medical Center, where he died yesterday. The man was identified as 31-year-old Des Moines resident Dean Ung. Police say his death is Des Moines' fifth homicide of the year. No arrests have been reported. That is a check of our news this hour on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.